Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
For obvious reasons, we keep this place as gloomy as possible.
Welcome to Mind Poppers Podcast.
We are, as a people, inherently and historically opposed to secret societies.
Once you get used to these grim surroundings, you'll never leave. Nobody ever does.
We continue now with tonight's case, Conspiracy.
Now. Listen.
Welcome back to the Mind Poppers Podcast. This episode, you know what? I saw a movie, right? And I'll tell you the movie at the end. I saw a movie this week, okay, that had me thinking about underground, okay? Because the thing is, right, nobody in general, you know, nobody wants to have a run-in with some paranormal creature, you know, dark entity, or anything of that kind, you know? That goes without saying. Now, where is the worst place in the world to have one of these, you know, crossing of paths, okay? We might say a graveyard, we might say an abandoned mental asylum, an old convent, anywhere in Roscommon, the woods. You get what I'm saying, okay? All equally creepy places, especially at night, you know, I grant you that. However, I've seen enough movies, right, this Halloween in particular, to come to the realization that the worst place to actually run into an entity, okay, is under the ground. Like catacombs, tombs, tunnels, a bunker, caves, and mines. If you've ever seen a horror movie, when people go under the ground, for whatever reason, they inevitably end up getting their shit rocked, okay? A horror movie under the ground, okay? Like, you're hearing noises, you know, you're clambering through narrow little tunnels, passages getting blocked off, you know, rock fall, all that kind of shit. There is always something following you, and it becomes this big race, you know, to the surface before whatever, you know, creeper lurking around the tunnels gets its hands on you, and, you know, it has its way with you, I'm assuming, okay? There's so much more added stress to like an underground paranormal attack than there is on the surface, okay? Like, you know that if you're going anywhere into the depths, okay, of the earth, cave, mines, etc., catacombs, okay, and you're doing some sort of paranormal thing, okay, you know that the torch that you bring down with you is suddenly going to lose power at some point, okay, when you're walking through them caves. Then you take out like your lighter, you know, anything for a bit of light, you know, and you know, okay, the minute that you take out that little lighter and flick the flame to life, some ugly motherfucker is going to be right there in front of your face, ready to fuck you up, okay? It's also very claustrophobic. Okay, I like my hauntings in a nice spacious area, okay, underneath God's blue sky and Mary Lou McDonald's green grass. Like I said, I do have the perfect scary cave movie for you, which I'll tell you at the end of the episode, okay? I watched it like 2 weeks ago, and this is why I'm even thinking of any of this, okay? Now, this episode, okay, it had me looking into a particular, I guess, creature or, you know, some folklore that's been happening in the mines, Okay, so imagine that you're hundreds of meters below the ground. Okay, you're in a dark, cramped tunnel, exhausted from a day of mining tin ore. Okay, maybe some coal, what have you. And that's when you hear a faint tapping sound from further down the tunnel. Maybe it's just your imagination, but you swear as you look down there, you can see a dark shape moving about, an even blacker shadow against the darkness of the pit. You shine your lamp to get a better look, but of course there is nothing there. And yet that knocking sound persists. In fact, you swear it's getting closer. And then a series of loud knocks on the wall right next to your head. That's if you've had enough, okay? You bolt out of there, leaving your equipment behind, and you never enter the mines again. You've had a close encounter with a creature called a knocker, okay? A strange entity said to inhabit the mines of Devon and Cornwall, okay? Now, obviously, when I found out that the creatures were called knockers, I mean, when I hear the word knockers, I'm thinking of big American knockers, you know? And then I was obviously thinking, I was like, I wonder why they actually refer to big breasts, okay, big old naturals as knockers. You know, I like it, I do, but I didn't know why. Apparently, okay, just a little side meander, but it was actually in the 18th century when they started calling breasts knockers. Because in the 18th century, there was loads of different slang terms for breasts. They were called ditties, okay, which again made a resurgence. Duckies, which I hadn't heard. Droopers. Cupid's kettle drums. And then finally, knockers. And they trace it back, maybe. I mean, they know that they had the term for breasts knockers in the 1800s. They theorize that maybe because some breasts were kind of shaped, they were kind of in the shape of some door knockers of the period, and that's how they became knockers. Which I kind of love, okay? Now, the knockers, okay, the knockers in the mines, okay, or sometimes referred to as knackers, okay, the knackers in the mines. Right, they were nothing like supple, ample bosom, okay, that we've all become accustomed to, that we all love. But these knockers, they were said to be grotesque humanoid creatures, okay, similar to what we might think of as a gnome or a goblin. But it was weird because they were said to kind of dress in like a parody, in a mockery of traditional miners' gear, okay? So they would be, you know, like walking around dressed like little miners. And now, like most often, according to this folklore, like you wouldn't see them as much as you'd hear them, okay? They'd have like their, you know, their rhythmic knocking sounds. It was often seen as like, you know, benevolence, you know, that they were helping the miners, you know, and the miners could follow these knocks and they'd be like led to rich veins of tin ore and, you know, other minerals that they were mining. Other times the knocking would warn of like impending cave-ins or bad air, gas, you know, that kind of a thing. Now, on other occasions, the knockers would be mischievous or even downright sinister. Okay, they were said to steal miners' equipment, and sometimes the knocking would lead people into dangerous areas. Okay, now in order to keep the knockers on their good side, miners would often throw their last bite of their lunch into the mine shaft as an offering. Okay, some miners even made like little clay effigies, which is kind of like a little totem, okay, like a little statue of the knockers. Okay. Some clay knockers to, you know, just in honor of them, to pay reverence to them. You know, again, just to keep the knockers on their good side, okay? Now, there's a couple of rules as well, you know. Whistling was said to aggravate the knockers. The knockers did not appreciate whistling, okay? So the miners would avoid whistling while they worked. And like, while nobody really knows who the knockers were, you know, there's different theories of whatever, like, you know, trapped spirits. Are they demonic? You know, were they like people of an earlier civilization who lived in the earth? Some people theorize that they could have been the ghosts of Jewish slaves that were brought over by the Romans and forced to work in the mines. But in the 1800s, okay, again, where we got the term knockers from, okay, well, no, I suppose knockers, yeah, the term knockers came in the 1800s, and we also had these knockers, okay? I don't know if there is any connection between these spirits and big-breasted women. I would like to think there is, but I have yet to find a correlation, right? But in the 1800s, when the miners from England and Wales travelled to the USA, they took this folklore with them, or the idea of the knockers, or perhaps they were already over there all along and were just able to kind of put their name to it, you know? Because when they went to the gold mines of North America, these knockers became known as the Tommy Knockers, okay? And of course, as it is with any good folklore, there are like similar stories, you know? Similar stories, but they're told by different cultures all over the world, you know? Which is what's very interesting about the knocker story, the knocker phenomenon, is because it really has touched every corner of the globe, okay? Because in Germany, as far back as the 16th century, miners told tales of kobolds, okay? And these were like unfriendly, goblin-like creatures that lived in the rocks, and they made a distinctive knocking sound when nearby and would trick miners into digging what looked like valuable metal ores, but it would like release toxic fumes when they smelted it. They referred to this blue, right, this blue metal, the strange blue metal, as cobalt ore, right? And this is how the chemical element cobalt got its name. You'll be interested to know, maybe not. Because when you burnt them, then it would like give like arsenic fumes or whatever. And again, they were saying was the way of these like knockers, you know, way of tricking and trying to kill the miners. Again, similar to the Cornish knockers, the German miners would leave, you know, offerings. This time, though, the Germans were leaving gold and silver in hopes of appeasing the kobolds, okay? And that, I'll tell you, like, people, again, it's very easy for people now to look back and be like, oh, that's crazy, you know, that people used to, like, believe that or whatever, or was it always just, like, you know, an old wives' tale that you, like, look back and think now? But these people, they like believed this to be a reality. Like they took this as a reality, like leaving offerings, you know, building little statues of the knockers, throwing, you know, the rest of their lunch for the knockers, fucking leaving gold and silver, you know, making it rain on these knockers. Okay. Like people really, really believed this. People really, really bought into this, you know? And you know what? I guess to me, it just seems like being a miner, okay, was a fucking lot. In every period of time, being a miner just seemed like a pain in the fucking ass, okay? Like, I have never seen a movie, right, with a happy miner, ever, you know? They're always covered in coal dust or whatever it may have been. They're, you know, they're black, okay? They always seem stressed the fuck out, okay? Someone is always crushed by like falling rocks in these movies, okay? There's always some poor woman, okay, like standing there being like, you know, please tell me, you know, is Danny okay kind of a thing. And like Danny's mangled body is lying at the entrance to the mine, okay? And she's like, will he be okay, doctor, will he be okay? And his head is just after eczema loading like a watermelon, okay? He is not okay. And, you know, it seems like a tough fucking life, okay? And the miner's lung. Don't get me started on the miner's lung, okay? I was reading something with these miners, and apparently, like, it was not uncommon for them to live to the age of 49 years old and die then. 49, okay? Work all their life in the mine and die at 49. What kind of life is that? Okay. And of course, you had the depression of working long, hard shifts in the darkness, you know. And of course, you have to have a troubled relationship with your son. Okay. I have never seen a movie about a coal miner, okay, where the father and son have a healthy relationship, okay? Because the boy wants to do anything but go to work in that fucking mine. I mean, anything, okay? And then the dad is like, no son of mine is going to go into digital marketing. Like some sort of pansy, you know? It's very stressful all the ways around, okay? And then it seems like overkill to throw in some sort of demonic activity into the mix, okay? Paranormal activity, whatever you want to call it, okay? Like, these people have suffered enough. They need some sort of SAG-AFTRA strike for the miners. Again, we can look at the Ukraine, okay? The Ukraine have the Shubin, okay? Which is a ghostly spirit that, depending on, obviously, what stories you hear, like the knockers, it's either a protective entity that warns miners of dangers and leads lost men to the surface, or it's an evil spirit leading men to their dooms, okay, and causing terrible accident. I guess it's kind of similar to the Irish fairy in many ways, because again, you see the good fairy and the bad fairy, you know, you kind of like a changeling snatching little kids, diddling little kids, doing whatever, you know, causing trouble, cursing people. And then you seem to have like a good fairy, okay, that might offer a blessing or a protection, or, you know, maybe even grant you a wish, okay? So it seems to be very same with the knockers, okay? They seem to be quite duplicitous, you know? And again, you can see it in Slavic mythology, right? I think, what is it called? They're like called Kosair or something like that. In this, they're like, basically they're small gnome-like creatures, again, you know, that inhabit the mines. And again, can be protective or dangerous, you know, whether you get on their good or their bad side, you know. They'll, you know, apparently they will warn miners of danger, you know, if you're on their good side, and lead them, you know, to rich veins of rock, if please. But then again, they're also offended by people whistling or throwing rocks, okay? You never throw a rock in a Slavic mine, okay? Because these, the Corsairs, they're known to push people into deep into the pits if they get angry, okay? Peru, okay, has the Muki, okay, which is a sort of goblin, kind of goblin elf-like creature that lives underground and wears mining gear. Again, it's weird as to why the mining gear. Because again, like we've seen with these British knockers, okay, these big British knockers, brr, it seems like the wearing of the miner gear, that these creatures would already be wearing mining gear. It's weird. Is it like a mockery thing? Is it a mimicry thing? We don't know. They don't know. There doesn't seem to be any answers as to why. Because oftentimes they're not really believed or perceived to be like, say, the ghosts of miners who have died. There seem to kind of be non-human, whatever they are, whatever entity they are, wherever they come from, they seem to be non-human. So the wearing of the mining clothes, is it kind of a thing people guess? Is it for people, is it for these creatures to blend in, to fit in? Is it a mockery thing? Again, it poses so many more questions than answers, okay? But like I was saying, you had this like Muki in Peru, do you know? And again, it was said to often help the miners by softening rocks, making it easier to dig, or warning them of dangers, whatever. But then again, can also cause big cave-ins and other disasters if displeased, okay? Now, apparently what the miners in Peru do is they make deals with the Muki, okay? They go and they leave like offerings of cocoa leaves and alcohol in exchange for their help. Again, in the mines of Cerro Rico in Bolivia, they've built many effigies to an entity they call Ito, right? And it's like this big, it looks very demonic, like this big kind of like demonic statue, you know, this big demonic looking creature, again, which has the power to either be protective or destructive. So then, of course, the miners try and gain favor, and each day the miners will leave offerings, again, alcohol, cigarettes, coca leaves, in hoping for its protection. Villagers will even, okay, in Bolivia, will even slaughter a llama and offer its heart to this creature in order to further win its favor, okay? Despite that around 14 men die every month in the Cerro Rico mines, okay? So, like, it still is an extremely dangerous job. People are still in extremely harsh conditions, okay? It's seen all around, still fucked up, you know? Even in the UK, there are multiple versions of the knockers, okay? Of these underground entities, okay? Wales has the Buka or the Cobbling Eye. This is another short goblin-like creature that leads miners to veins of, you know, metal or whatever through this distinctive knocking sound, okay? And then the pits of Northern England have the blue cap, okay? And this creature that appears as a blue flickering light in the darkness and leads miners to rich veins, okay? And it could also push heavy coal-laden carts to the surface, right? It was actually interesting.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Because an account in the Colliery Guardian, okay, which is in 1863, some sort of mining newspaper, mining newsletter, I guess, okay? But it's stated in that, right, that this blue cap spirit or entity, whatever it was considered such a valuable worker, okay, in these mines. Again, this non-human entity that was seemingly doing a lot of work, okay. This blue cap spirit, it received a full miner's wages, okay, a full miner's wages, and it was left for it every fortnight. These, the full, like, 2 weeks' wages or whatever, were left for it every fortnight in the corner of the mine. Again, it being just some sort of spirit, okay? Which is crazy, right? But it's interesting that there are so many, I guess, similar stories when it comes to paranormal experiences underground, okay? Especially in the mines, okay? Nearly every corner of the world has a similar experience with entities in mines. And it's weird because these entities usually have, like, you know, they usually behave similar, as we've just heard, okay? And they even share, like, similar physical characteristics at times. So the thing is it just, like, similar superstitions traveling around the world? Or a more interesting theory, a sexier theory, is it some sort of primal memory tucked away in the collective consciousness or collective unconsciousness, okay? Meaning, is whatever is down there in the mines, be it big old knockers or whatever you want to call them, going back thousands of years, did humans have, you know, some sort of bad run-in with these creatures underground at one point in time that it scarred human memory for generations to come? And that's why all these cultures have a similar experience or come up with a similar folklore, you know? That, to me, I'm like, okay, we could be onto something there, okay? Now, I have a few stories from things happening in the mines, some true accounts, okay? It was actually from a book, and I'll leave a link to the book if you want to read more about it. But a book was called Brian Long, or sorry, the book was by Brian Long, and it was called Presence at the Pit, okay? And Brian Long went and he compiled all these different stories from miners who worked in pits, mostly in England, okay? Now, his first story, it was titled The Conveyor Belt of Change. Now, these are all first-hand experiences, okay, that he, I guess, met up with people and listened to their stories, right? So the first one goes, two of us were riding the belt out of Markham. Me and Snowy, we were both exhausted. The belt was wet and muddy, and the goods hung low, so we had to lie down in a black, sticky, wet mess. I dreamt of a cold, foaming pint in the club. I just make last orders, God willing. Suddenly, something happened, which had a lifelong effect on me. Out of nowhere, just in front of us, something rushed over the conveyor belt. It was a shape that was too hard to make out, as it went so fast, but it also glowed, and as it dashed over in front of us, in front of our noses, there came with it the most haunting, shrill, what I'd describe as a scream, as it passed by. Then, nothing. I quickly turned to Snowy, and he just lay there with his eyes and mouth wide open. Then, almost together, both of us in unison said, and I'll keep it clean, what the hell was that? Walking to the showers afterward, me and Snowy just kept looking at each other. Okay, how you doing? Nice cock! We just kept looking at each other. What the hell was that? And we just kept shaking our heads. Snowy went long-term sick through stress-related issues and never worked there again. He swears it had nothing to do with the encounter, but I am sure that it had everything to do with it. As for me, I carried on working there, but refused to ever ride a conveyor belt again. Now, again, these people, okay, these men's men, working down the mines, they don't seem like the people who would easily scare because, you know, they work in a stressful job all the time, you know. They're probably very physically fit. And for them to be scared of something, again, these people who spent all their lives in the mines, and yet to be able to see something that they can't explain and something to scare them so much, to me, it just adds credibility to, while we don't know what the story, what's down there, be them knockers or whatever, something seems to be going on, okay? Now, another story that he has from the depths of the mine. I should have had a long, fruitful career down the pit, doing a job I fell in love with. However, one particular cold winter's night changed everything. I'd volunteered for the midnight till 8 a.m. overtime shifts. I was on my own and I was checking the pumps on the drift, which were several hundred yards in a few unused back roads. As I made my way warily along the low-hanging road, I walked with a stoop, as I was wary of the low girders. I pondered having a bite to eat early, and I figured as there was no one around to stop me, why not? I poured out a cup of what we called miner's tea. It was black, no milk, plenty of sugar, and to accompany a crushed banana sandwich with a generous sprinkling of sugar. Okay, I think they really like the sugar. After several minutes, my cap lamp flickered, as in like the lamp in the helmet. Thankfully, it flickered back to life. I breathed a sigh of relief, because if my cap lamp failed, I was in a pitch black world with just a faint glow from my safety lamp. I set off up a roadway that was no longer used, but it did house one of the water pumps. Unbeknownst to me at the time, I would never make this trip again. What happened next still keeps me awake at night. To this day, I have no shame admitting that I have flashbacks, panic attacks, and random, uncontrollable bouts of weeping. My lamp flickered again, and I felt uneasy. I know I need to check this pump and get out. Trying to keep myself distracted, I hummed to myself and then sang lowly. But the echo from my voice just made things worse. As I strained my eyes to look ahead of me, I could see a shape. A shape that shouldn't really be there. It was a dark, shapeless shape, if that makes sense. It was not a miner. It couldn't be. I know I was down there all alone. Besides, there was no light coming from his lamp. The shape was gently moving towards me. The sweat was running down my face. I almost froze. I was totally focused on this shape moving towards me. And suddenly, it seemed to stop. And then, this is difficult to even say. There was the most terrifying, loud, ear-piercing, eerie, high-pitched scream. And totally unexpected, the shape rushed towards me and straight through me. I felt strange, to be honest. I can't really explain what I felt. I turned around to see where this shapeless thing went. I couldn't see anything anywhere. It was gone. I staggered out to the cage. I didn't speak to the onsetter. I grabbed the shower. I just couldn't comprehend what had happened. To be truthful, I don't think I'll ever recover from that day. The very next day, I handed in my notice. I didn't offer any explanation. I just quit. I never wanted to set my eyes on that place again. Okay, you see, something is going on in the mind. Something's going on in the mind. Something spooky, okay? Again, it's interesting, we haven't seen any, like, accounts thus far of, like, the kind of, like, little goblin figures or, you know, these, like, little elven figures or anything like that. It seems to be largely these black, massless or shapeless figures that scream very loudly and then rush the person, okay? It's spooky, okay? Like, there's definitely stuff happening down there. I've heard so many weird stories about things under the ground. One story I love and will eventually get around to covering in this podcast, but not today. Again, those things to me sound non-human. But that's not to say that there aren't human spirits down the mine either. Because we can look at Paul Breen Mine, okay? Which is an old shaft in the Forest of Dean, right? Had a ghost all of its own. She was known as Dorcas, okay? She was believed to be the spirit of a woman who had committed suicide by hurling herself down the shaft, okay? And then she took a malicious pleasure in tormenting the miners, okay? Who sometimes would become so furious with her that they would leave their work and rush after her. But they never caught her, okay? Dorcas, however, seemed to have a liking for some of the men, okay? Come on, Dorcas. On one occasion, a man was wielding a heavy hammer when beneath the strokes, he had heard his name called sharply and incessantly, okay? He thought nothing of it at first and went on with his work, but the crying became so urgent, okay, that at last he threw down his hammer and walked in the direction of the sound, a half a dozen steps and crash, down on the spot where he would have been standing. A moment before came a vast mass of rock, so he would have been crushed to death if it wasn't for Dorcas. Okay, now if I had a name like Dorcas, I think I might have been straight down the mine shaft too. No offense to all the Dorcases out there, okay? Now, let us not forget, okay, before we finish up, let us not forget about the most haunted cave in Ireland, possibly the most haunted cave in the world, okay? That's Owen Ni Gheaidh Cave, okay? Which is believed to be a gateway to where? you may ask. Well, a gateway to hell. Now, I ask you, okay, if you were listening to this, to take a minute and think of Ireland, okay? And if there was to be any part on the Emerald Isle, okay, this beautiful, green, lush paradise, there was to be any spot, okay, in this country that had a door to the depths of hell underneath it, okay, where do you think that would be? Now, take a second to think about it. Take a second, okay? I'll wait. Yes, you are correct. It is, of course, Roscommon, okay? And I'm sorry to shit on Roscommon, but the long, long, long list of Roscommon's crimes against the rest of the country and the world just grows every day. It truly does. And I'm sorry, but God knows there's no fucking demons coming up through the portal, okay? There is nothing coming up through that portal because the demons, they climb out of the cave, okay? They see Roscommon and they dive straight back down the hole. And I don't blame them either, okay? If hell, this is what I want to know. If hell is underneath, does that make Roscommon heaven? Okay, that's terrifying, okay? And fuck me anyway if it does, okay? Because people will be like, oh, granny's in a better place, okay? And not if she's in Roscommon, she isn't, okay? And I don't want to say that, I don't want to like make anyone feel a type of way, just in case, you know, because we don't know if Roscommon is what awaits us all. But that's not heaven, okay? When people are like, oh, I just know, may she have the warmest bed in Roscommon. There ain't no such thing, okay? She's under a bridge, okay? Granny's under a bridge, or she's sprawled out on the cobbles, but she certainly isn't wrapped up cozy in the kingdom of God, okay? If that's the case. And I'm sorry to say it. I really am. And I'm Roscommon neutral, okay? I'm neutral, okay? Because we don't know. Maybe the demons, you know, at some point in history took over Roscommon and then drove the Irish people down through the cave. Maybe that was all along, okay? That would make sense that the people there now that we would refer to as Roscommoners, maybe they're the devils and the demons. Which, again, would make a lot of sense to me, okay? But again, I'm Roscommon neutral now. One person we did speak about, okay, before on this podcast was Queen Maeve, when we were kind of doing a little Irish history and folklore of the gods and goddesses, mythology, etc., right? This cave was actually... Now, there's a lot of stories going on with this cave, okay? It is plays a very important part in, like, Halloween. It is believed that on the 31st, that, well, it was actually the 1st of November for Samhain, that this... you know, cave in Roscommon would act as a portal, a gateway, and that the dead would once again be able to walk amongst the living and they would come through this cave. There's a whole lot of different other stories and Irish mythology based around this cave, okay? One of them being that it was alleged to be the birthplace of Queen Maeve, okay? The legend states, right, that the fairy queen slash goddess, Etain, who was fleeing her human husband with her fairy lover, Midir. They came here, right? Now, Midir wanted to visit a relative named Sinnoc, okay? Which apparently translated as the large-breasted one. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. The large-breasted one. And we were talking about knockers. Isn't that crazy how things just come full circle? It's just like, when you know, you're on the right path. That's crazy. Okay, so they came to visit Sinnoc, the large-breasted one, who lived in the cave. And within the cave was said to be great otherworldly, a palace, a kingdom, a society, okay? Where a maidservant named Crucken, okay, the blood-red cup, translated as, lived, And she granted Midirne Tain entrance into the Underworld Palace, and it was there that Crokhan was believed to have given birth to a daughter named Maeve. So you have Queen Maeve is meant to have her origins from this cave in Roscommon. And also, we talked about the Morrigan, okay? That goddess, one of my favourite Irish goddesses that we spoke about, the Morrigan, has long ties as well with this cave and would apparently bring otherworldly cattle, okay? So that there'd be like dead cattle, or again, just cattle of maybe the fairy realm or whatever, these otherworldly cattle. Apparently, she could be seen at sundown bringing this herd of the underworld cattle down back into the caves, okay, which is kind of cool. Now, that's enough about Roscommon, okay? I don't want to scare you too much. I guess more so on the Patreon, have discussed Roscommon in depth, and we did a live coverage of the Roscommon trial. There was a big Roscommon trial going on recently, and I won't get into it now. It's over on the Patreon. But we broke it down, okay? We took it to the Mind Poppers Court of Law. I mean, you've heard of, like, you know, like Amber Heard versus Johnny Depp and all that crap. It was nothing like the Roscommon Trial of the Century. I think that's what the episode was called. Now, before I leave you go, the episode, or the movie that I was talking about that had me even thinking about of all this underworld crap was a movie called The Descent, okay? It's an English movie. I think it was The Descent. It was out in 2005. And it was about this group of English girls and one Irish girl, okay, who go basically like free climbing or whatever into these caves. And then, of course, they come across something in the caves that they weren't expecting. It is, I mean, I guess possibly a knocker, what we would refer to as a knocker, or what some of these, you know, miners have claimed that they've seen down the mines. It is so good, so good, so worth a watch, okay? Now, if you want to hear more, you can always subscribe to the Mind Poppers Patreon. We just released our Paranormal Hotline 2023, our best one yet. Thank you again to everyone who submitted all their stories and their voice notes, whatever. It was our best one yet. And then again, the Patreon, we have a new episode every week, every Saturday. Things on the Patreon, access to The Docket, which is a kind of a mini-series done between myself and Jennifer Claffey of The Red Room, once a month. And then it's just a place where you can say things. You can say a lot of things behind a paywall that you could not get away with saying on Spotify. So, in the meantime, stay woke.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.